In the last episode of Ask Dr. Gill, I discussed the negative effects that stories have on our health. Now that I have your attention today on the podcast, I want to talk about the positive effect story has, because I think story is a very important human component and is part of our DNA, if you will, in terms of culture, in terms of society. And also in terms of health. And I think there are aspects of this that are really important to explore. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winckelmann. And today on the podcast, I want to continue the exploration of story because I do think this is a very important aspect of health. And last week, I sort of glossed through negative aspects of story, and I'm going to go into more detail in future podcasts about what I'm talking about in terms of the elements of how stories can affect us adversely because there are areas of that. But today I want to talk about how stories actually help us. And I think that there's an underappreciated aspect in terms of health in this. And sometimes the story is like a walking stick on a steep climb. And it supports you and helps you keep you balanced, particularly coming downhill. Things that people say, for example, are, I'm a fighter. And I mean, we've heard that a lot. And I've always been sensitive to my environment. That's actually can be a very positive aspect of things. And, or I just have to push through. These are pieces, I think, that people use to help them get through whatever adversity they're dealing with in the moment. And oftentimes it can help in a situation that's stressful. The challenge is, as I talked about last time, is how we take that on, right? But I also think story is important because sometimes the story helps organize our understanding of why we behave or things in our life have come out in a particular way. And as an example, people who have trouble with certain types of relationships, particularly romantic relationships, oftentimes understanding that they have an anxious attachment or an avoidant attachment style because of their parents, that can be helpful. Oftentimes, the story helps organize something. And this is kind of where diagnosis comes in a sense, because when we have a diagnosis, sometimes that gives us a roadmap for not only for treatment, but what the aspects of the future look like for us based on that diagnosis. And I can't tell you how many times I've had patients who have cried in my office when we've been going through labs and diagnosis that when people get a diagnosis, a bad diagnosis, oftentimes there's shock. Usually when people cry, in my experience, what I've noticed is they do it when they don't get the answer. And so they still don't know what's going on. And it's a very interesting aspect of how the diagnosis has power in settling the person's thought process about things. And it's something that is really just sort of interesting when you think about it. It's like, oh, I know, or I don't, or you're upset because you don't know. So I think that the story can give context around why things are happening the way that they're happening, and how things are happening the way that they're happening. I also think that understanding ourselves and understanding how we've been raised, what our past is, all of that is part of story, gives us information in terms of how we move and respond to the world. And I think that these aspects are very, very important in terms of moving forward in your life. So a helpful story gives us a number of things. Namely, it helps us explain our situation to ourselves and to others. It gives a framework for decision making. And medically speaking, you often want to know the diagnosis before you do the treatment, because that gives a framework. And I'm going to talk about why that may not be useful in some cases in the future, in a future podcast. But generally, that's how medicine works, is we understand what's going on, and then we do the treatment. And the other thing is that the story can help you, remind you about hard moments and how to get through those hard moments. And it can also give us comfort when there's fear or doubt in a situation. So, and I do think that oftentimes knowing, for example, that you had a traumatic childhood is very useful in terms of understanding what you're going through and how you respond to situations. And the question is does the story still serve you? That's really what this boils down to. And I think it's a very simple test. Does the story expand your possibilities, or does it limit your possibilities? And this is the two-edged sword I was talking about in the last podcast. When we have a situation where, for example, let's go to attachment theory for a minute, and you realize that you have anxious style attachment, and that can be very beneficial to understand that you have that, because it allows you to communicate with your partner or your potential partner what is happening for you and what you need in the situation to feel more comfortable. But it can also be, the flip side of that can be, you're so identified with that that you never move out of that anxious attachment style. And if you read attachment theory carefully, we can move. It is actually more fluid than people realize. I'll do another podcast about attachment theory and health issues, because I think that there is a connection there. But it's really interesting how that can be a double-edged sword. Same with any diagnosis. So, and then the other thing is that if your beliefs are really positive towards the body, and I'll give you a few examples in a minute, that is really serving, right? So examples of that would be, I always improve my health. My body responds really well when I get the right support. I'm learning ways that work best for me. Those are empowering. Those allow for growth. They allow for change. And they allowed for new opportunities. And that's why I think this is a really important piece to work on and look at. I'm going to talk more about this in the second half of the show, because I want to talk about how stories can hold you back and what you can do about this. So stay tuned. Okay, welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And if you have any questions or comments for me, please feel free to send an email to info@askdrgill.com. I will leave the link below. It's askdrgill.com if you're driving. If you have any questions, you can also send an email about that as well. I am going to be putting together a workshop about how to recognize your beliefs and your stories and then overcome the limiting ones. And I'm going to have posts about this on my website, askdrgill.com, as well as giving you information about this as we go forward. I think I'm going to be doing this in November. That's the plan. It will be online the first time. And I might actually do an in-person one in Hawaii at some point as well. So really looking forward to putting that together. I'm still getting the pieces and how to organize it because there's a lot of information. Let's talk about when stories hold you back. So let's just acknowledge that story is really, really important and that the stories that we have, both for ourselves and society, by the way, the stories that we have are important in terms of helping us organize our values, our beliefs, our actions. Without those, it's like everything's random. And this may be part of the reason, and I don't want to get into a whole philosophical debate about this, but when you look at sort of creationist versus science, the science, there's a randomness to the story, but it is coherent. And what I mean by that is that it's just like there's a big bang, and I'm not questioning the science, by the way, when I say this. Stories help us organize our value structures. They help us organize our actions oftentimes. And unconscious stories make us act unconsciously. And this is kind of where the recognition of the story is super important, because it allows us to understand why we act the way we act at times. And in my podcast about habits, I think it's often the fact that we have something operating with us that we're not aware of that leads to the negative habits. For example, overeating. Oftentimes, overeating happens because of anxiety. And oftentimes that anxiety is there because of past trauma. And it's not that you have to remember the trauma. I will say this again, because I think I said this in the last podcast. Remembering trauma is not necessarily, it's not the way to healing necessarily. Understanding that story of what happened to you in your childhood, if it was really severely abusive, remembering that story, all of those things, that isn't necessary for healing. What's necessary is experiencing the emotional content in your body and allowing it to move through you. That's what resets your nervous system. That is why body work, breath work, meditation, yoga, massage, all of those things, Wim Hof, breathing exercises, all of those things are powerful to help you experience what is actually going on in your body. Because I think a lot of times we are cut off from the visceral experience in our physical bodies. And what I want to mention is talk about when stories hold you back. And I think even the best story, I went through X and I'm a survivor, for example. Even that supportive story can become too small for you. It's like, think about it, like having a cast on after your bone heals. And you're still growing. Like it's going to be uncomfortable. And I think that the restrictions that we place on ourselves because of that story don't allow us to grow into the next stage of whatever our next stage is, our next stage of healing, our next stage of maturity, our next stage of relating, our next stage of life. And I think when you have a story so solidified that you can't explore a different approach or believe that you can improve or get better, that's the limiting aspect of story. And I would add diagnosis as part of that. I've had patients who are diagnosed schizophrenic or schizoaffective, and they got better. And some of them were still living their lives as if they were schizoaffective. And some of them have moved beyond it and are living great lives. And going back to the attachment, if you understand that you have an anxious attachment and you move beyond that label, that's when you can become secure. But if you hold on to the label, you will never, ever find secure attachment because you're holding that in place. You've solidified it. And the story is meant to be an aspect that brings us to where it is that we need to be and then move beyond it. And so when you can let go of the story, I think it's important to remember your story likely helped you survive. It may have even saved your life at some point, because it's kind of like when people shut down, when people go into freeze mode, when they've had a very traumatic experience. That freeze mode is designed to help you survive in that moment. And part of the story is to think that story. Like, the future story is, oh, that was so necessary that I went through that, or I made that up, whatever it is, and now I can move beyond it. And oftentimes, a ritual can be very helpful for this for people. It's not about erasing your past or changing who you are, per se. It's about making room for growth, for something bigger than your current narrative. And I think that that's the piece that people forget. They get so attached, like, well, I'm a survivor. It's like, well, how about going into I'm a thriver? I'm living my life. And that's the piece that I think we're going to talk about in future podcasts, as well as where my workshop is going. So I hope this was helpful. Again, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to leave them below or send them to info@askdrgill.com. Thank you so much for joining, and I will speak to you next time.